Radio, PDPD Radio, PDPD Radio, PDPD Radio for entertainment and teenage. PDPD Radio for entertainment and teenage. PDPD Radio for entertainment and teenage. PDPD Radio, PD Radio, PD Radio, PDPD Radio for entertainment and teenage life, life, for entertainment and life, for entertainment and teenage life, for entertainment and teen life, entertainment news for life, PD Radio for life, entertainment news. PD Radio, for entertainment and life. PD Radio, PD Radio, PD Radio, for entertainment and teenage youth life.
What's up, everybody? It's Aisha Mweba and Brianna, and you're listening to TD Radio, brought to you by TeenDiaries.net. It's Monday, February 9th, 2015. We completed 1 week of Black History Month. Boop, boop. Okay, it's 9 p.m. in New York City. And joining us tonight is social entrepreneur and the founder of Black Celebrity Giving, Jasmine Crow. Now, before we invite her on, I just want to let everyone know that aside from February being Black History Month, it's also Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month, too. Now, did you know that in the U.S., 25% of high school girls have been abused physically or sexually? And here's another fact. Roughly 1.5 million high school boys and girls in the U.S. admit to being hit or physically harmed in the last year by someone they are romantically involved with. Now, Jasmine is here with us tonight to talk about these alarming statistics and ways we can all get involved to take a stand and make a difference. So without further ado, please welcome Jasmine to TD Radio.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having us on. Really appreciate it.
Of course, of course. We are so excited to talk to you tonight because the topic is very important. It's one that should be discussed. So we're ready to open up the floor and talk about it, okay?
Definitely.
All right, well, the We Speak Teen Domestic Violence Initiative is housed under the Black Celebrity Giving umbrella. It's under your Beauty for the Bowl campaign, correct?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And it's, you know, our Beauty for the Bowl campaign is a campaign we started in 2013. Through that campaign, we have made over 250 women and children in shelters, and we also have provided over 200 shelters with hair supplies so that when women of color do escape, they're met with supplies that they need and that they're used to having. So this program is definitely designed specifically for teens because, as you said, February is Teen Dating Violence and Awareness Month, and the statistics are just alarming. I mean, it blew me away when I really started to do the research, and I was like, why is no one talking about this?
Mm-hmm. Wow,
so it's exciting. So we kicked this off, and we're taking it all around the country to really try and start as many conversations as we can with teens.
So glad you're doing this. We really applaud your efforts. Like, this is a topic that must be discussed because so many people deal with it. Either they have a friend that's been abused by a partner, or they've been abused and they're afraid to talk about it. So, yeah, we're glad to open up this conversation. But let's take it back a little bit. Black Celebrity Giving. Let's give our audience a little bit more history on that and just how it got started.
This is such a funny story. I always use this just as a kickoff. I started Black Celebrity Giving literally one day. I was at the gym on the treadmill, which for me is a miracle. I'm just not as healthy as I want to be. But I was reading a blog site online, and it said something about Monica attending a charity event. And I've been a huge fan of the singer Monica since I was a kid. I mean, since I was 12, 13. And I was like, oh, my God, I wonder what charity Monica supports. I was so excited to read more about it. And when I opened the post, it said nothing about the charity at all. It literally just said, check out her Christian Louboutin shoes. And it was such a failed teaching moment for that blog site because after I did my own research, I found out that Monica was attending an event for Feed the Children. And I thought if they would have just said Monica's attending an event, a charity event for Feed the Children, 1 in 6 kids goes hungry every night, You know, they would have taught so many people about something of great importance, because far more people can afford to feed a hungry child than could afford those shoes. And so that's
right.
where I got the idea to talk about what black celebrities are doing that is positive in the community. And I didn't want to just keep it at black celebrities. I really wanted to expand out to the community, to nonprofits, to everyday do-gooders, to just celebrate what they're doing, because it really goes unrecognized. And so the blog was very, very successful in its first year. And we decided that we can't just continue to be a blog. We have to really do some work. And so we started introducing these cause campaigns, such as Beauty for the Bold, We Speak, our Giving Boutique. And they're really just national campaigns that give everyone an opportunity to get involved and take action on creating positive social change, because all of us are responsible for tomorrow, whether it's our own tomorrow or our kids' tomorrow. But people really paved the way for us. So many things that we take for granted, you know, or consider a non-luxury, people really fought for. And so I really want to get my community and people that support us involved in doing the same kind of work. And it's been amazing, just the support that we've had along the years. Going in, this will be our fourth year in the summer. We started in 2011, so this summer we'll celebrate 4 years, and we're excited about it. But there's certainly so much work to be done. There's still so much more awareness we have to raise. And so I'm just excited about taking that journey.
Well, congratulations on 4 years. That's amazing.
Thank you. We're excited.
Yeah.
So, in regards to the We Speak Teen Domestic Violence Initiative, I guess we're going to slide into that discussion. Oftentimes, it's very easy for us to ignore the warning signs of an abusive relationship, or we choose to make excuses for our partner's behavior. So what doesn't a healthy relationship look like?
Well, one of the biggest things that we're trying to tell teens, and I want parents to know this too, is that, you know, when your child is on again, off again, on again, off again, on and off, on again, off again, on again, off again every single day, that's not normal. That's not, you know, so we got to talk to our kids to say, listen, if, you know, you guys are arguing every day, if something's happening to where you're breaking up constantly, that's not a normal relationship. And so that's one of the main warning signs, is that they keep going back even after something is happening. And so that doesn't look like a normal relationship. But here's the issue that we deal with. And I don't know about you ladies, but when I tell this story, I always reminisce back to my own days as a teen. My first boyfriend was going to be my husband. Like, I literally used to change my last name from Jasmine Crow. It used to be Jasmine Wilson, because it was my first boyfriend. And so this is all the fairy tales, everything I had ever seen on TV. This was all of that unfolding. Like, oh, we're going to get married. And so teen girls go through that as well. So what happens is they begin to kind of fantasize, and they have a lot of fairy tales of what this perfect relationship is going to be like. This is their husband. And so what begins to happen is when they do anything wrong, they become more forgiving, because this is, you know, the love of their life. And I think a huge warning sign is just possessiveness. You know, parents need to understand, if your daughter is saying, oh, I have to call, you know, John right now, I have to do this, and this is something that's taking place. As I've been talking to mothers who their daughters have dealt with domestic violence, one mother whose daughter was actually killed by her boyfriend, this is one of the signs that was just missed, like very possessive, you know. And girls, we start to think that that's cute, that jealousy is cute, but that's not a good sign. If your boyfriend is saying you have to be somewhere at a certain time, or you have to call mm-hmm. him, and that's not normal. And so parents have to really get more involved in their kids' relationships. That's a huge problem. They kind of take a back seat. You know, they think it's just for fun, and it's just short-term and temporary. But as you guys said when the show was starting, 25% of our teens, 1 in 4, basically is in a domestic violence relationship. And it can start off verbal. Parents need to be very conscious of things that their kids are starting to say about themselves. If they've never been someone with really low self-esteem, or you've never really heard them say, I'm fat, I'm ugly, then, and they're beginning to say that, then that's an issue.
Okay. So besides the physical and verbal parts of abuse. Are there any other types of abuse that the society doesn't really hit on or touch on?
Exactly. Yeah, there are several. Sexual abuse is one. We were doing an activation actually in New York, and we allowed the girls when we're working with them in groups to text us questions because we understand this is a group of their peers. A lot of times they don't want to ask these questions out loud because they don't want their friends and judging them or their foes judging them. So one of the girls actually texts in, is it abuse if my boyfriend makes me have sex with him even if I don't want to? And so, yeah,
wow.
So these things are taking place. These are conversations that our kids are asking. So sexual abuse is a huge one. Verbal abuse is one. Emotional abuse is one as well. And what emotional could be is very similar to verbal, but it's kind of trying to make them feel like they're doing something wrong to you. They're making the girl feel, or the boy. I want to make sure we never just only say that, domestic violence is men to women or, boys doing it to girls. It can go both ways. But what the emotional component is, you make me do this. This happens because of you. I'm not this way. I don't hit girls. I don't, hit boys. I do this because of you. So it starts to really pour at the emotional standpoint of the person who's being abused. They start to begin to rationalize this in their mind that it's their fault. Like, if they called on time, if they, wore something that wasn't as revealing, then they wouldn't be going through the abuse. And so that's a big one that we really want to make sure parents are aware of as well. When you start to see your kid being sad or feeling like things are their fault, it's just, it's a big red light.
Okay.
With parents, I guess keeping an eye on that, also, friends and just, family members, we see that it seems that abuse and violence can be, cyclical. So what are some ways a person can kind of seek help to remove him or herself from a harmful situation? And what are, maybe some things that friends can advise them to do as well?
That's a great question. The number one thing that parents have to do, and friends, I think this is a good one for friends, and I'm glad you asked that. Friends have to really, we have to speak positive things into the lives of our young people that, as I was saying with me thinking that my first boyfriend was going to be my husband, parents have to be real enough to say, hey, you still have college ahead of you, you have your whole life ahead of you. Don't sit and think that this is the only, relationship that you're ever going to have. And parents don't want to do that because we care so much. We don't want to hurt our kids' feelings. They love this person. So we don't want to tell them that it gets better, that this isn't the only boyfriend you're going to have. Another thing that parents have to do is they have to talk to their kids about domestic violence. When I first wanted to do this campaign, the first person I called was my mother, and I said, we never talked about domestic violence. And I was fortunate enough to grow up in a household with two parents, both that were really working full-time, successful, educated. And they never talked to me about domestic violence. And it could be because they never experienced it themselves. But the point is, we have to have a conversation with our kids to let them know what sexual abuse is, what physical abuse is. Another thing that parents need to do is they have to monitor social media. A lot of the parents that we've been speaking to whose children have went through this or sadly have been murdered because of this, a lot of the signs were on their social media. It's a form of abuse that they're now calling digital abuse. And so parents, when they're not looking at cell phones, they're not looking at text messages between, their boyfriend, their daughter or son's boyfriend and girlfriend. And I get that parents want to give those bounds. They want to set limits. They don't want to be, too intrusive. But if you feel that something is wrong and it's in your gut feeling, you have to check out the social media because digital abuse is huge. Some of the things that people are texting, some of the things that they're saying, on social media, and it's not cyberbullying, it's really digital abuse is what they're calling it because it's different when you're in a relationship with somebody.
See, right there, I hate to jump on this, but I have to. When you say that, and I guess just me, and maybe this is an old school person speaking, but I've never understood this. I mean, I know, like, say for instance, say Ish is texting me saying mean things to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
After a while, I can just, like, block her or just not, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? It just seems like I can block her. I don't have to hear from her. I can get her off my page or shut down my, you know, it just seems like there's, I guess I'm looking at it as a simple thing. I don't want to be naive to the fact because apparently this is a serious situation. But it just seems as though it could be just so easy just to, hey, I'm just going to shut down my page because I got an idiot that wants to keep, you know, harassing me or whatever. You know what I mean? So is that naive?
And that could be true. And so there's that. But what happens is if that person is still continuing, say, on their Facebook page or on their Twitter page, and they have 300 followers or 400 followers that also know you and that also go to school with you. So even if you've blocked them, if they're able to still project this negativity to your peers, it still comes back to them. So it's so hard to do because parents say that all the time. Well, you know, we blocked this person or we blocked their number, and so how is my child still being affected by this? Well, what happens is Susie goes to school and tomorrow and everyone's like, hey, I saw what Chris was writing about you or what's going on. And so even if they didn't see it, now their mind goes into this wondering stage, like, what are they saying about me? Why are they doing this? So the cyberbullying and that digital abuse is really, it's going to be a very hard one to get around because kids talk. So even if you've got that kid blocked, if another one of your friends or foes saw it, it's out there. And it can always get back to them. Even if it doesn't get back to them in the form of a tweet or a Facebook post, if it comes back to them in the form of a friend saying something that they saw, that tends to hurt the child more. And so Facebook and Twitter, they have developed a coalition. I think Instagram is part of it as well. And I need to follow up on what they're doing to really get some of these people blocked. Like, they have to begin following up and seeing signs and saying, like, okay, there needs to be certain words that once these people are doing this and saying this, they need to lose their account so that they don't even have an outlet to do it. Because even if you block them, all that stuff, if other people see it, it's still been out there.
Yeah. I've got so many questions in regards to this, but I'm going to have to call you.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Wow.
And even I feel like even the fact like that I have to go through all those steps to block you, I feel like that's even abuse. Like me having to take that time out of my life to do something to prevent you from doing something, I feel like that's also a form of abuse. Am I wrong?
It is. And let me tell you what else is happening. This is what the parents have been telling us. This is so true. So say you block somebody on Instagram or you block them on Facebook. Well, I know for people know that they're blocked, like they can't see your pictures anymore, things like
right.
that. So now what they're doing is it's going back to almost being like a tattletale in school, like, oh, they blocked me. And so the kids are now like showing on Instagram, oh, this person blocked me because I was telling them the truth or this person. So it's like it's such a vicious cycle that we really, you know, there's still a lot that needs to be done on solutions because now the person that's bullying you or abusing you, you block them, they're telling all their friends and family that you blocked them. And the other thing is their friends and people like that still have access. One
right.
girl told me that people were coming on, and her parents made all of her accounts private and things like that. But through friends or just, you know, other people, they would still see her pictures and they would still take her pictures. And so it's just, I mean, there is no way to really and truly just be secluded. Even if you have a private page, if one person that you guys have a mutual friend and in high school and as you're younger, there seems to be just more of that. Like, you know, people, everyone has that one or two people in school that are just, you know, pretty good people and everyone pretty much follows them or however it works. So they still have mutual friends and people are still seeing things. And then people are also, when the kids do not put their accounts private, the bullies are creating other pages. So
man, sometimes you just got to whoop somebody. I'll just go ahead and say, look.
it's becoming to that.
Listen,
it's
like, I'm old school.
So you have to be violent. Like, you have to be violent.
I'm just saying. Like,
I'm
just saying. Like, if you're the first person that, like, if you're in jail and you're the, you know, you go to jail, it's in the movies, and you always have to pick a fight, pick the strongest one, and knock them down so everybody knows not to mess with you. I just think that Oh my God, that's Aisha. That's how we came up. If you had problems,
you know what? Our parents did teach us that.
Yeah,
like,
you
they
dealt
really
with
did.
Them.
They taught us. Well, they taught us like they. My parents always taught me like, you know, defend yourself. If someone hits you, you know, then you have to hit them. You know, just things like that. But it's, I think the social media just makes it in the
right. That's a whole other level.
It's just such a. It's a really hard campaign, and later in the year, I'll definitely want you guys to get back with us on this, but we're going to be doing something with Teyana Taylor. You know, I met her mother a few weeks ago, and we were just talking about some of the campaigns that we're doing, and she says, you know, my daughter, who is a millionaire, a celebrity, you know, she's on Kanye West's record label, has sat on my lap and cried because people have bullied her so bad, some of the things that they say on Instagram, some of the comments that they leave. And I challenge everybody to look at some celebrities. Just anyone who has a lot of followers, just look at some of the comments. Even one of the youth ambassadors that worked with us, who's 10, her mother was telling me the kids, people comment really mean and cruel things on her Instagram feed. So she'll post a picture, people will comment really cruel things on hers, and she's a kid. I mean, this is a 10-year-old, and people are saying bad things. So the celebrities as well, people think that they're so above that. This is a celebrity's mom who's saying, I've watched my daughter cry on my lap as an adult because people are saying she looks like a man. They're saying, you know, whatever they want, whatever you could think, they're saying this. And it's like these people have feelings too. And so I think the internet, I may be stretching this here, but I think the internet has really given people another way to be cruel. You know, it's just like another avenue. Like, I don't have to just worry about saying something to them in person or not opening the door for them. Now I could, you know, just sit behind my computer and say these really mean things. And I think with celebrities, it's a lot worse because, you know, they don't know the people that are saying it.
No, I totally support Kanye. No, I totally support that dude. I totally support when he spazzes. That's crazy.
Oh, gosh. That's a whole other topic.
Oh, man. That is
a...
Yes, I do too. He's funny. Man. He usually, the thing about it, he usually has some truth to him.
Well, in response to all types of abuse, digital abuse, domestic abuse, and sexual abuse, we would just like to spit out some numbers for those who are seeking help. It's never too late to get help. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is staffed 24 hours a day by trained counselors who can provide crisis assistance, legal advocacy, health care sitters, and counseling. Their number is 1-800-799-SAFE, and SAFE is 7233. Also, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and their number is 1-800-656-HOPE, and HOPE is 4-6. I actually got those numbers from your toolkit. So thank you so much for putting that out there and giving us all access to those resources. So thank you.
No problem. We have tons and tons of people nationwide who are using our toolkit to facilitate their own events. We have a ton of parents that have emailed us, and that's what I'm so grateful for. I've had parents emailing me saying, hey, you know, my daughter all of a sudden a few months ago started cutting herself. Come to find out, it's because her boyfriend had really been mentally and physically and emotionally abusing her, and she started to really just not want to live anymore. One of the biggest things that we've got to talk about is the long-term effects of abuse, and I want people to know this, that I work with the homeless once a week, all the time. The number one reason why women and children are homeless today is because of domestic violence. And children and teens that are going through any kind of abuse, whether it's sexual, domestic, anything, you name it, they are more likely, 54% more likely, according to the CDC, to attempt suicide. And our kids are killing themselves. And it's very... You know, it's very important that we look for signs, we look for things that aren't right, and we go with our gut, because the long-term effects of domestic violence, it just doesn't get any better.
Well, last night, I definitely want to tip my hat to President Barack Obama for speaking on domestic violence, and they had a whole portion of it.
During the Grammys, that was so great.
It really was on the Grammys. That was awesome. But a lot of people... thought negatively, not about the fact that he did that, but the fact that, you know, Chris Brown and R. Kelly were in attendance and also were nominated during this award show when domestic violence was also brought up during the telecast. So, you know, I hate to even talk about the whole Chris Brown, Rihanna incident, because obviously that happened years ago. But what I did feel like when that did happen, I felt like it was a very teachable moment for a lot of young people. And it's almost like, you know, it's terrible that something like that happened, but I was hoping out of that situation would not only spark a discussion, but would also spark change in our community. And, you know, tonight we've been talking about how abusers can get help. But what about about people who are abused, but what about the abusers, people who are abusive? Like, what can they do to not only recognize their weakness, but to also, you know, seek help and change as people?
I love that. And I mean, that's a big component too. We have to talk to the people that are doing it. And a lot of times what happens is so much attention does go to the person that's been abused, and the person who's done the abusing begins to look somewhat like a monster. But what we know is people that are hurt people. That person who is doing that, they've seen it before. There's anger. They don't know how to control their anger. There's so many things. But 90% of people, of kids, teens who abuse, have been abused or have witnessed abuse. And so that's a huge statistic. And so when these things happen, especially with our kids, we have to go back to the home and say, you know, what's going on? Like, why, you know, what's happening? There's a great organization that we're working with here in Atlanta to do a program for young boys. It's called Poems Over Pistols. And what we're trying to do is get young men to use their words constructively. To one of the activities we're going to have them do is write a letter. That if they're angry to someone, write that letter, but then we're going to take it and we're going to throw it away or we're going to get rid of it, but just to figure out other ways to express their anger. Their anger management is huge. There's a lot of free anger management resources. One of them I want to recommend, most cities have a Unity Church. And if you look it up, it's just Unity Church. It's typically a non-denominational church, but the great thing about Unity Churches is they offer free counseling services, and that's really hard to find nowadays. But looking for free counseling services, someone to talk to, take advantage of the school counselors, especially if this is happening within the teens area. Take advantage of all the resources that are available out there to you. If you're involved in a church, this is something that you need to pray about. You need to bring it to your pastor or deacon, someone at the church, to begin having a conversation with the child. But something has happened 90% of the time to make an abuser abuse. And so that's a huge percentage. So we have to go back to that and address that. So whether they witnessed it as a child, they were abused themselves, we have to begin to work through that. And a lot of it comes down to just having someone to listen, having someone to say, you know, I know what you're going through, but you don't have to be like this, and this is not right, and these are the consequences. And even though I could tell when that was taking place, just based off of the tweets last night, that people were saying, you know, there's always those memes and things on Instagram, so there were funny ones about Chris Brown and R. Kelly and different people like that, but awareness that you've done something wrong. And I've had an opportunity to speak with Chris Brown. Hopefully we were going to try and film him in his Symphonic Love Foundation for one of our shows, and it just never happened. But he does recognize that he does have anger issues, and that is something that he does. Every time I've heard him speak or apologize, he recognizes it, and that's really the first step. The second step is to get help and to continue to get help and to follow the proper protocols. You know, my parents, my mom's a really big natural medicine person, so she's definitely not into prescription drugs. So she just, you know, she agrees that Chris Brown probably isn't into them as well, because it changes. There's always side effects. But look into just teas, meditation, anything that you could do, even if from a natural level, if you're not into the medicine and things like that, that can help you be a better person. Praying, but the biggest thing is you have to, for both the abuser and the person being abused, they have to remove themselves from the situation. So there's no, the abuser, after the point that it's been caught or it's been brought to their attention, however it could happen, they have to begin to let that person go, because it's better for them. Because if not, it's a dire consequence. And one of the stories I shared earlier was about this young girl, and I encourage everyone to look up her story. When I first read it, I literally believe I read every article. I mean, I was about to go to the library and really research this story because I just was so moved by it. She was 15 years old. She was killed by her boyfriend last March, so literally less than a year ago. She's coming up on the year anniversary. Her and her boyfriend, they got into an argument, and he strangled her. And then he panicked, called one of his friends, and his friend put a sock in the young lady's mouth, duct taped her mouth, and then he and the friend tied cinder blocks to her and dumped her in a river. And for 3 weeks, they continued to, you know, be part of the family searching. I mean, the young man was posting on Facebook, you know, how much he missed her. He hopes she comes back. And when her body surfaced about 3 weeks later on top of the Hope River in North Carolina, he confessed that they got into an argument and he strangled her. And so that it's just, you know, that now this 17-year-old boy is facing the death penalty in North Carolina, he and his friends. So the consequences for the abuser are far, they far outweigh the, I mean, I don't want to say they far outweigh, but the death penalty versus being abused and being able to get help and, you know, get through that, I think the consequences for being an abuser are greater. And so we have to begin to tell that story as well, just as we do don't drink and drive, you know, all these other things that we're really blasting out, don't text and drive, whatever it is we're doing to save lives, we have to begin to tell abusers that. But really and truly, it comes down to people just not wanting to talk about domestic abuse. I don't know if it's why it's such an uncomfortable situation. You may have seen those PSAs with several of the celebrities that are just crying because they're not able to talk about it. I don't know why it's such a sensitive subject, but we have to, just as we're having a dialogue today, as we're going to be traveling the country and talking to young girls, we have to have a conversation. It can no longer be something that's hard for us to discuss because we're losing too many lives, and it's a vicious cycle. For every person that's abused, their child is 60% more likely to be abused, especially if they witnessed it. And especially if the mothers, you know, don't protect their kids from it and they don't have conversations. It's just the numbers and the statistics surrounding abuse are really serious. And so the conversation has to start now. And that's why we named this campaign We Speak, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to speak about the facts. We're going to speak about resources. And we're going to continue to speak about this until we can really see some people changing and some laws changed as well. So it's not just a one-year thing. I look for this to come back next year and many years to go. And I always say my little personal motto is if I can save, my job is done if I can save just one, but I really want to save more. Because that young girl's story, when I read that story, I literally laid in bed for like a whole night just thinking about what it must be like to go from just having a simple argument with your boyfriend to being strangled, to having a sock put in your mouth, to being having cinder blocks tied to you, and to being thrown in the river. I mean, that is such a huge thing for a 15-year-old honor student, you know, who had dreams of going to UNC Chapel Hill to go through.
I just want to thank you for, you know, bringing awareness to this, especially coming on here tonight and doing this. I think it's so important. Hearing just you tell the story, I haven't even read it. I'm sure there's much.
Yeah. Oh, and the young lady's name is Danielle Locklear. And I really encourage her parents, I've reached out to the family to try and get them involved in some campaigns as well. But Danielle Locklear is her name. She's a young, I mean, beautiful girl, interracial, from North Carolina, really had her whole life ahead of her. 15 years old, 10th grade, a few months shy of her sweet 16. And so this happened to her. I mean, her life was taken. And so when I saw that story, I thought, okay, this is why we're going to have these conversations. And what I've been trying to get from her parents was, were there any warning signs? And one of the things that we heard was the on-again, off-again relationship. And so that's something that I really want parents to look at nowadays. So if your kid is breaking up with their boyfriend two or three times a week, you have to sometimes be the parent and say, hey, what's going on? Why are y'all breaking up? You know, start to understand what's going on in that relationship. And the mother said, if that last time they were off, if I could have just said, hey, you know, you are beautiful. And if you guys Google the young lady, she's a beautiful girl, hands down. That you don't have to keep going back and forth, or however she could have made that in, and I know it's a regret. And sometimes parents have to do that. I mean, I've had friends in high school who they were banned from seeing their boyfriends, and they, you know, they rebelled against it for a little while, but then, you know, a few weeks later he had somebody else who wasn't banned from seeing him, and they were okay. So sometimes if the relationship is not good and things are not right, as a parent, you have to step in and say, hey, you can't see this person anymore because they don't treat you how I want you to be treated, and that's all there is to it. And parents are afraid to do that. But if, I mean, I know when my kids get to be teenagers, if something like that happens, I'm going to have to speak on it and say, you can't see that person because they don't do what I want, you know, they're not the person I want you to be with, or they're kind of relate, they don't treat you how you deserve to be treated. And that's probably a better way to say it, to let our girls and our boys know they just deserve the best. And I've heard from a few parents that the boy, the male, was being abused by his girlfriend. You know, and so that's happening too. Girls are just as angry. It's not just men, you know, or it's not just boys. Girls are angry as well, and they're hitting and they're throwing shoes and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just, these things are crazy. There's a great story, another one they were researching. A 17-year-old girl, teenage mother, got into an argument with her boyfriend. She stabbed him, killed him. You know what I mean? Killed him. 20 years in prison she's doing right now. I mean, she killed her. They got into an argument on, and it's another one of those things, on again, off again. They were arguing. I believe this story was he ended up getting another girl pregnant, and whatever ended up happening, there was an argument. And then this was after the girl had even, you know, had her baby. It was a long, I mean, it was a deep, you know, they weren't even really in a relationship, and she was so smart. She had been featured in the newspaper as an honor student who defied the odds of being a teen mother, and her and the man got into an argument, and she killed him. And so that we have to begin to say we can't put ourselves in those situations. And it's unfortunate because she's no longer with a child. You know, she's doing prison time, and she should be in college. And so these stories, I mean, for me, it's been eye-opening and a little depressing, you know, a little saddening, because I never heard of these stories until I start researching. And Tyra Banks did a great series. It's all available on YouTube. When her show was on, The Tyra Show, she did a great series on teen domestic violence. And one of the things that really stuck with me is one of the little girls, Tyra's show starts, she admits that her boyfriend has punched her in the face several times and strangled her until she's blacked out, but they're still in a relationship and she still wants to be with him. And the first thing Tyra asked her is, why do you want to be in a relationship with him if he strangled you and punched you in your face several times? And the young girl said, I love him. I love Evan. And so the parents have to, and the mother was on the show. It was a really great YouTube. If anyone gets a chance, just to Google, you know, Tyra Banks, teen dating violence. And she had several teens that said, my boyfriend has strangled me, but my boyfriend has beat me. He has, you know, given me two black eyes. And it's just, these are young girls, 15, 16, 17, and they're living this, all races, all shapes, all sizes, and they're still with the men because they love them. And so it lets me know that our kids really don't know what love is.
Yeah. Well, mostly it seems like friends would have more insight into what, you know, their friend is going through. For instance, if you have a best friend, they may be in closer proximity to you to know whether or not you're being abused or not, as even more than a parent would know. So what can a friend do if they see or notice that their best friend or close friend is going through a situation that looks very unhealthy? Like, how can they help them get through it?
I mean, they have to be not afraid to seek help, professional, and that's the biggest thing. No one wants to feel like they're a non-trustworthy friend, because a lot of times if they notice this, the friend probably is going to say, don't tell anybody, but so-and-so hit me, or promise not to tell, this stays between us. And so the friends think, okay, I can't say anything. And there's a great movie that said, it's called No One Would Tell. I saw it when I was in probably junior high school. It came on Lifetime, and it was about a teen domestic violence relationship, and people saw. I mean, friends of the girl who was killed were witnessing her boyfriend hitting her at beach parties and everything, and they just never said anything to the parents, and they have to be willing to talk. I mean, because what the friends have to know is that they could potentially be saving their friend's life. That's, you know, and if they look at it from that perspective as opposed to I'm betraying her trust or she told me not to tell anybody, that's how they have to look at it. Like, I could be saving their life. And I would encourage friends just to be the bigger person. And even, I mean, my special call is out to the young men and the people who are the abusers. I shouldn't just say the young men, is that if their friends recognize something, they really have to be the ones to speak to save their friends from a lot of trouble. You know, to say, hey, you're not supposed to be hitting your girlfriend, because what happens is when they don't speak, it rubs off on that the friend, and now the friend is going to be in the same situation, and you've got two, you know, the blind leading the blind. No one's willing to say, this is wrong, we're not supposed to be going through this. And that's, you know, we have to get these kids to talk. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be our hardest trial. I mean, when we're going into these high schools and we're talking to these kids, it's tooth to the nail to get them to talk. That's why we have opened up the text messaging. But one of the text messages I told you earlier, a young girl said her boyfriend is making her have sex with him. She wants to know if that's rape, if that's abuse. So a lot of it is just letting kids know what is abuse. I think, you know, that's, and if we're not having these conversations, then our kids don't know, and their friends don't know that that's wrong, and they don't know to go in, you know, seek help about it. They're only hearing about domestic violence maybe in October during National Domestic Violence Month, and so their parents aren't talking to them, just like my parents didn't talk to me, and they just think it's no big deal. And one in four women is going to experience domestic violence in her lifetime. When I was in college, I had a boyfriend who was very verbally abusive to me, and it would say mean things, but I think I just was more, I was stronger. I was just very level-headed and, you know, had, you know, forward thinking, like, okay, he's not going to talk to me like that. And so I was able to leave him. But a lot of girls don't have that. You know, my father was in the house my entire life. And, you know, he never was talking to my mom like that. And so I knew, hey, the boyfriend's not supposed to be talking to you like that. But for kids who have grown up in a single-parent household, they've never known their dad. Some of the girls that we've spoken to have said they've seen time and time again where their mother has put a man in front of them, and that's disheartening. And so what happens is when there's a single-parent family and the mother, you know, has boyfriends, you know, they kind of, the term is a revolving door of boyfriends, and the kids sometimes become second nature. And we've heard a lot of kids say this, you know, my mom would put her boyfriend over me. If he didn't like kids, we couldn't come in the house when he was there. We had to stay at my grandmother's house and things like that. And so it's unfortunate. We just have a lot of work to do.
Thank you once again for coming on. One last thing is, a part of the We Speak Teen Domestic Violence Initiative, it includes going on tour and hosting these on-site events across the nation to really educate the youth. So where have you gone thus far? What's coming up next? And how can people stay informed with your campaign?
Well, people, the greatest thing is people can host one of our events anywhere in the nation. So if they want to create a discussion, they can do that on their own, and we will provide them with our toolkit. We also have a stipend which we'll be able to provide them to provide refreshments or anything that they want to have, cupcakes, punch, and we also have giveaways. And so we always try and lighten the conversation by bringing on certain beauty panelists to also give tips on, you know, inner and outer beauty. And we'll bring life coaches in. So we bring a lot of different speakers in. We have a two-week heavy, heavy tour that starts next Monday, the 16th. So we have Dallas, Fort Worth is on the the roster, and that's going to be a great one because we have Chris Johnson and Miyoshi Johnson. He's the Super Bowl champion. His sister was killed via domestic violence, and so it's going to be great to have a man talk about how domestic violence has changed his life, especially someone who's a Super Bowl champion, football player. I think and it's not even as open to young boys. So we have Dallas, we have Houston that's coming up. We have four schools in Atlanta that we're doing the last week of February. Every day we're at a different school, starting on Tuesday the 24th. And then also in Atlanta we have a huge event called You Don't Own Me, a teen domestic violence performance piece. So we have spoken word artists, we have a skit, pianists, everyone's coming out. So that's going to be a great event in Atlanta. We have New York with Girls Inc. on February the 27th. We also have Washington, D.C. on February the 28th. And we're constantly adding. We have London. London's taking place, I believe, on February 22nd, which is a Sunday. So constantly adding more events. And we're really excited because we will probably touch personally about 5,000 kids by going into the schools. And the schools have been so gracious that we're coming in to talk about this. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. Like, they're calling other schools. They're calling, like, hey, can you bring this to us? So I'm really encouraging anyone that really has a youth group, a high school, and they just need help on how to facilitate the conversation to reach out to us. Let us help you with the toolkit. We have tons of people. We put out a call for survivors, and the phones and our emails were ringing up. People were like, hey, you know, my boyfriend tried to kill me. This man killed my sister. In Dallas, anyone that lives in the Dallas area that's listening, there is a lady who was shot 7 times and had acid thrown on her who is a survivor of domestic violence that's going to be there to talk to our girls. She was shot 7 times, including twice in the face. So for her to be alive is just going to be, I mean, that's such a blessing. So I can't wait to hear what she says.
Wow. I can't thank you enough for the insight you've given us tonight. And just thank you for what you're doing, this awesome task that you've taken on yourself and with the people that work with you. From the Teen Diaries family, we wish you much and lots of continued success. My God, I just thank you, and thank you for stopping by TD Radio.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me, and I commend you guys on all you do, and I've followed you for many years, pretty much since we started, and I'm just excited about having this opportunity, and I hope anyone that listened got something from it, and that we all just know we have a lot of work to do as it relates to this.
Definitely.
And thank you for highlighting Pretty Girl Sweat. I know Black Celebrity Giving has highlighted it.
I know. Yes. I love that. What is going on with Pretty Girl Sweat now? You guys will have to keep me posted. We have to do something in Atlanta.
Definitely.
I'm about it.
Yeah, we're busy. Every month we do major collaborations. We work with the Girl Scouts of America. We're doing a big event with Nike in L.A. next week. So really exciting.
Yes, I love it. Well, next time, if you guys ever come to Atlanta again, I know you did the one with Carrie Hilson, and I know she's here, so I would love to come out there.
Oh, yeah, we did a big one with her and OMG Girls in September. If I would have known you were in Atlanta, we just did one, but we're going to do another one every year in September.
Now that you know, we work with the OMG Girls a lot. And we're actually trying to get them to come out to one or two of the events, you know, as teens to really hopefully connect with some of the girls. Because sometimes it's harder for us to get that message across because they look at us like we're old, even though, you know, I'm 30. They kind of look at me as like an old person. I had someone the other day who was 27 call me old. So that was interesting.
Oh, no.
It was a little hurtful, but I took it with a grain of salt. So anytime we could get the teens or anyone in pop culture that these kids look up to speak about it is what we have to do.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we'll definitely be in touch. We're actually relocating to Atlanta, so we'll be in touch for sure.
When you're here, you have a friend. Well, we'll look forward to welcoming you here.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. Have a great night, and we wish you much success on your tour.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right. It's time for entertainment news. Yeah.
Welcome to Hollywood, baby. Well, no intro to that. All right, no problem, no problem. We had a musicless show.
Yeah, it was kind of deep.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Oh, tonight's topic is so deep. We have avoided any music tonight, so yeah, we don't need that little sound effect. That's all good. First story up. You know where we're going to talk about it, and Mr. Kanye West. Well, he failed to win a single award last night at the 57th annual Grammy Awards, but he became one of the main stories thanks to two performances and a priceless fake-out interruption of Beck, who won Album of the Year over Beyonce. Now, this seemed a bit more like a play on West's reputation than a moment of genuine anger when he cracked a little smile as he walked up to Beck's microphone and then wordlessly turned around and went back to his seat. Even Jay-Z lost his breath for a second, and Beyonce was like, no, no, no. And then as he turned around, they were all like, ha, you see what, man, you crazy. And we thought she was going to say something. So we were all like, yeah, yeah, you are funny. Like, that is hilarious. Like, that was classic. Loved it. Until the rapper made it clear after the award show during an E! Interview that he actually really was serious about walking up there, and he was very unhappy with the outcome of Beck's win. And he stated, Beck needs to respect artistry. He should have given his award to Beyonce. He also stated that if the Grammys want real artists to keep coming back, they need to stop playing with us. We aren't going to play with them no more. All right, now, as a result, West earned more Twitter mentions than any other artist last night. But you know I love Kanye. He's like my brother from another mother. But there's a message that we have to out to kids in the world that, A, we can't be sore losers, and B, you have to applaud someone else when they win. We need to live in a win-win mentality, not a win-lose. It's not about, you know, oh, he won over her, she lost. It's more so like, big up Beck for all the amazing things that he's done in music and how he can play about a gazillion instruments. And, you know,
yeah,
he's a worldwide artist, even though Beyonce is
really
worldwide too.
I totally agree with that. And I was like, dang, this cat is really like, it. You know, but here's the sad thing about it. Kanye doing that made me actually look up Beck. I knew of him, but made me actually Google Beck, and I was like, wow, this cat is really dope. And he's been doing it for, like, for a minute. Now, he's been doing it for a minute. So, I think what needs to happen is next time Kanye wins one, someone needs to come up there on him. It'll be funny. I just think that'll be funny. Someone needs to come up on him.
I know that his intentions are good. He comes from a good place because, okay, I'll take it back to Grammy. Like, I can't even remember. Maybe it was, like, 6 years ago. I don't know. It could have been 2006. I don't know. Kanye was, to me, snubbed for, you know, Best Album of the Year just because he's been snubbed a lot. But the key was he did something in hip-hop that a lot of people weren't doing. Like, he made a gospel record, a huge pop success, right? So that stands for something.
Absolutely.
And then the whole body of work, you know, in totality was amazing. And I'll even say that for Beyonce's album. In totality, like, the visuals behind her album, fantastic. Like, no one puts out a whole visual album in 2 seconds and say, hey, guys, go buy it. Like, that normally doesn't happen. So that's epic that she even did that and was successful at doing that. I will give her that. But, and, you know, I'm like one of Beyonce's number ones over here. I love her. But, like, she doesn't make records like a Rihanna or even like a Beck or like a Sam Smith. She does on occasions, but not in totality. Like, she doesn't put out an album. I mean, she'll put out a record like, you know, 7-Eleven, which I love. But is that Grammy worthy? Or like, Drunk in Love is amazing.
I think it's just the people that are picking. Like, we're not picking it or whatever. These are some people sitting up in a room making decisions. So it's like we don't really have – it's not like a People's Choice Award where people are actually voting. These are some people
that – That's what I'm saying. It's not a popularity contest. And even though out of popularity, Beyonce all day. Like, I literally wanted to turn off the TV, but I couldn't because I knew that she had to perform, and I needed to see her perform to get my life.
I was disappointed.
But, you know, exactly, and I was disappointed. But, like, after I slept on it, you know, I was angry. I was mad, but I was like, man, you can't be mad at that. You can't be mad. Like, come on. Like, Beyonce's not even mad. I mean, she even played it off like, eh, whatever. I'm going to just go on and
I'm
take
like,
this 20th Grammy home.
It's like we can't disrespect the other people in the category.
Right.
I didn't know about Beck till Kanye made it. So if anything, Beck needs to give probably needs to say thank you, Kanye. You've made
right.
me you've made me relevant to the younger generation because people have
Tell
looked
me
up now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. Well, congrats to Beyonce, because even though she didn't win the coveted Album of the Year award, she still took home 3 awards for Drunken Love and for her self-titled album, earning her a total of 20 Grammy Awards and also a place in music history. It makes her the 3rd most honored female artist by the Grammys. Then she got 20 Grammy Awards, and she is behind Alison Krauss and Aretha Franklin. She's behind those two. So, actually think she beat out Aretha Franklin, and she's behind Alison Krauss.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Hey, find out what it means to me. But, yeah, so she's won 52. Well, no, she's gotten 52 nominations in Grammy Award history. She's the most nominated woman of all time. Bam, take that.
Boom.
Yeah, just saying. So she's still on top.
I think she's good.
Yeah. Okay, so we're running out of time, but of course I wanted to talk about Prince. I mean, aside from his outfit, because you know I love Prince, so I had to look past the outfit. But he's an icon. We're not going to touch on that. But what I do want to touch on is that he made a very powerful statement last night. He said, like, books mm-hmm. and Black lives, you know, albums still matter.
Still
they still matter.
That was dope.
Album.
That was actually
yeah,
profound.
It was very dope. So profound. Yeah. All right. So that's it for entertainment news. I mean, I have so much more, but obviously we can't go into it. So I'm going to just let you hop into birthdays because we're running short on time.
Well, let's do it. We're not even going to use no music.
Oh, yeah. Why?
Oh, let's do it.
Oh.
We got music.
I'm on it now.
Yeah, baby. Birthdays, February 9th, actor Michael B. Jordan is actually one of the stars of the upcoming movie Fantastic Four, will be 28. Actress Emma Roberts will be 24 on February the 10th. February 11th, actor Taylor Lautner, you are familiar with him from the Twilight series, will be 23. Actress Jennifer Aniston from Friends will be 46. Kelly Rose, Lord have mercy, Kelly Rowland will be 34. You see how I got serious on that? Singer Brandy will be 36. Love her voice. Former member of Danity Kane, Aubrey O'Day, will be 31. February 12th, Arsenio Hall will be 59. Singer Mike Posner will be 27. L. Varner will be 26. February the 13th, football player Randy Moss will be 38. On February 15th, Brian Birdman Williams will be 46. Actress Amber Riley will be 29. And those are your birthdays for this week. Birdman.
Happy birthday, Amber. And yeah, guess what, folks? We've got 6 days left to donate to our 2015 annual fundraiser. So basically, here's the details, all right? You head over to crowdrise.com/TDF2015program. You make a donation, $20, and in exchange, you get entered for the chance to win $2,000 worth of JetBlue air tickets. If you have not donated yet, speaking to even my co-host, donate. Because this is a contest you want to be a part of. You could win, okay? Now, here's what we need the money for. We're committed to raising $600,000 to open our first fitness and career development facility for teen girls in Atlanta, Georgia. Secondly, we want to provide scholarships for 30 female college students, hire an executive team to manage, raise funds, and build corporate partnerships for our organization's programs, and develop an inspiring app that positively unites young women. We also want to employ 10 students part-time in Atlanta, so your money is going to a great cause. It's helping young people get jobs and it's also helping young people stay healthy and also preparing them for a lifetime of success, all right? Now, as always, we want to thank you for listening to TD Radio. Much love to Jasmine Crow for stopping by tonight and spreading so much wisdom and awareness for teen domestic violence. Be sure to tune in next time for more awesomeness. Until then, follow us on Twitter at Teen Diaries, at Moiba, a.k.a. Mo, and at Mouthing Off Blog. And always remember to stay young, stay fly, stay unique, and stay fabulous. We're out.
Cheers.